Greetings, you are listening to KGPR Great Falls 89.9 FM, and this is Electric City Currents, a show that we use to cover local events, local organizations, things going on around the Electric City. It's the currents of life, the currents of the river, and the currents of the Electric City. And so I'm joined here today by Christy Scott from the Cascade County Historical Society, also known as the History Museum. And we're here to follow up. You had a great event with your Legacy Awards in early April, and Calumet was recognized with the 100 Years Award as a local business. The Monarch Nyhart Historical Group was recognized as the Nonprofit Award. Mary Sheehy Moe as the Person of the Year Award, and Showdown Montana with the Business Award. So a unique thing about the Legacy Awards is that you had it on a second Saturday, which was April 9th. And you've been doing a lot on second Saturdays.
We have, and we will continue to do so. It's our thing. You can come down to the museum on the second Saturday of every month and find reliable programming that starts typically at 1 p.m. and it's free to the public. So it's been a lot of fun, and we're getting a decent turnout, and it's great because it is in the middle of the Saturday, but you can still plan other things for your evening, for your weekend, and make it to one of our programs.
Exactly. And I salute you for opening. I mean, you're not open every Saturday, so you're open on those second Saturdays, but it's also free. It's inviting. It's letting people come on in, especially with their families, and experience history, maybe without the full-on commitment of getting a membership or paying admission, or having that sort of be something that you just put in the, oh, I'd like to do column, but never really do.
Exactly.
And you design each of these programs around really unique experiences and unique guests.
Exactly. Yeah, we get a lot of inquiries. Someone publishes a new book or has a special research topic, or there's an exciting event that evokes the past that they want to talk about. And we wanted to channel that into a predictable time and day. And there is a lot of interest in being open on Saturdays, but it's no secret that the workforce is suffering right now, and our staff is very important 9 to 5 Monday through Friday at the museum, doing archiving, collections management, grant writing, and all those things. So we want a presence, and we decided that doing it the second Saturday of each month was a solution.
Yeah, well, that's something that I know you and I have talked about in the past, but researching history is almost it's a full job in itself. I mean, you have to, in order to really fully understand what has happened, you almost have to be able to write a book on it by the time you're done really figuring out what happened. And so with any given topic, it really isn't an intensive and demanding consumer of hours. So
yes, it is. You need to have the context to tell the story.
So your hours normally for the public to come in and visit are Tuesday through Friday from 12 p.m. to 5 p.m. And then on those second Saturdays, you're open from 12 p.m. to 5 p.m. too.
That's right. The front door is unlocked during those hours. We are there during business hours, though, 9 to 5. You can just make an appointment if you want to come in outside of that noon to 5 time frame.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah. So we have researchers come in and hold meetings from 9 to noon, and then from noon to 5, the gift shop staff is there and we're open to the public.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I think that there's something there for all tiers of people and all levels of involvement, whether you want to just experience one of these events or come in and really, you know, one visit to the History Museum is a whirlwind enough. You'd really, if you're interested, you'd probably want to do a deep dive on some of these things and really spend some time and let it inspire you with what has really taken place and the level of work and detail you put into your exhibits at the History Museum. It's really inspiring. It kind of brings you into what you're experiencing there.
Thank you. Yeah, there's lots to see there. You can come and see the exhibits like you're referencing. You know, you can learn about Great Falls brewery history, or you can go in and learn about the Ozark Club or downtown businesses. And a lot of folks come into research. They set up an appointment with the archivist and they're scouring to find out the history of their historic home or a business or an individual. But there's these second Saturday programs that are super approachable for the public because you don't have to research. You don't have to read. You just come and you sit in a chair at 1 p.m. and have a presenter talk to you about their special research project.
Yeah, so let's dive into a little bit of the second Saturdays that you have coming up. First on the docket is May 14th. And that's a little bit of a different one, isn't it?
It is the opposite of sitting in a chair and somebody talking to you. In this case, we have Carol Bradley, who knows so much about the historic Lower Northside residential district in Great Falls. It's really going to be neat because she's going to talk about how those big, beautiful homes got to the Lower Northside. And then also she knows a lot about the Craftsman District and the different layers of building in Great Falls, which styles of homes were built when and why.
We used to always go on leaf walks in downtown there, and there really is just such an aura off some of those buildings, and it would be fascinating to learn more in detail about where they came from and what they, I mean, I've learned a lot of the history of downtown Great Falls, and it's quite fascinating to realize the different incarnations they've gone through throughout the decades. So this will be on May 14th. This one says it starts at 2 p.m. And it's meeting at Vinegar Jones Cabin in Gibson Park. Is that right?
That's correct. We're starting a little bit late just in case folks show up at the normal 1 p.m. time. They can be directed over to the park, and we're hoping for a beautiful day, and it certainly will be beautiful sights to see over there on the north side.
Yeah, and then that's a walking tour after meeting at Vinegar Jones Cabin at 2 p.m. there. Then on June 11th at 1 p.m., you've got Country Gold celebrating Dave Wilson, the longtime DJ and country program that has been syndicated, still is in syndication, you'd mentioned.
Yes, yep. It's been in syndication for 50 years, and Dave Wilson's, played in bands and was on the radio, and he started this program, Grassroots Gold, that is still enjoyed today. So we're going to celebrate his life, do something a little different, and look at some radio history, and that will be at 1 p.m. at the museum there in the Ozark Room.
Yeah, so, he's passed on now, so you have some people who are familiar with his efforts throughout the years, and so we're going to learn more about the legend that continues to really be put out there on the radio waves. So
exactly, yes. We're going to have, we have Cheryl Wilson, his widow, joining us, and also his partner in business. She knows a lot about his life, of course. Norma Ashby Smith will be there, and other folks, just radio personalities. We hope Great Falls comes out and celebrates Dave Wilson with us on June 11th.
Yeah, and then in July, on July 9th, which is the second Saturday of July, this one starts at 2 p.m. as well. The special tour at historic Fort Shaw, and you meet at Fort Shaw for that event.
Yeah, and if you haven't been out, you just head out west on Highway 200, and Fort Shaw is an agricultural community about 30 minutes from Great Falls. But they have done, the Sun River Valley Historical Society has done an incredible job of restoring that fort. And you can see the officers' quarters, you can look at a medics room. The fort is so neat itself. There's also a monument to the Fort Shaw Indian girls basketball team that's out there. And then they've worked really hard to mark the cemeteries and do some research there that we're really looking forward to in this special tour that the Sun River Valley Historical Society is doing for History Museum members on July 9th at 2 p.m.
I feel like I should know this because I drive through there all the time, but is there signage to direct you to Fort Shaw?
There
is. Right along the highway? Or
yeah, it's a little tricky. It is a little tricky. The last time I drove through, I thought, you really have to think to turn, because you see a sign when you're headed west that says Historic Fort Shaw, and then the next road you take a ride on. But really, if you're headed west, any of those streets before the community center and after the river, you could take a right and weave you back there to the fort. And okay, if you slow down and look closely, I guarantee you'll see the signs for Fort Shaw. And that group is, again, working so hard to keep Fort Shaw available to the public. There's so much history there. And this summer, they're actually going to be doing tours on their own. If you miss ours July 9th, you can go out there on Thursday evenings between 1 and 6, and they'll be doing tours of the fort.
Oh, that's intriguing, because I've lived out in that area too in years past, being around Great Falls for most of my life, and I'm very intrigued to find out exactly what the roots of Fort Shaw were.
You have to go; it's so cool, and the buildings that are left from the fort are just right across from the elementary school, back over to the, I guess it'd be the north. And there's adobe walls, and it just has this fascinating history, because the fort itself was established to protect the Mullen Road. So we're talking about 1870s. And
right,
then by 1890, it was a federally run boarding school for Native American students. And then, of course, it was utilized heavily during the Sun River Irrigation District when we got all these irrigation projects going that make the Rocky Mountain Front farmlands what they are.
It sounds like a great opportunity for me to enjoy traveling along the highways of life, but detour from them from time to time and get onto the dirt roads, the real history that is central Montana.
Yes, put July 9th at 2 p.m. on your calendar and join me at Fort Shaw.
And then in August, you'll be rounding out your summer of Second Saturdays on the 13th, and that's at 1 p.m., and you're back at the History Museum for that.
Yeah, and I'm really excited about this one. Historian for Malmstrom Air Force Base, Troy Halsell, is presenting on the parks and trees in Great Falls and Montana's early development. Have you ever looked around and wondered how we got so fortunate to have these tree-lined streets? What kind of species were planted, how they did, why they were planted? This guy's done the research and wrote an article that was so successful it was picked up by the Montana Magazine of Western History and recently published by them.
Yeah, I've often been thankful for the shade as I'm strolling down the boulevards throughout the decades of my life, but that would be really interesting to learn about, and that's on August 13th at 1 p.m. So keep that in mind every second Saturday at the History Museum, 422 2nd Street South. And I know that if you don't get yourself out to experience the History Museum or to experience any of these events, but you still care about history and the memories of things that can keep informing our present and shaping our future, then I know that you guys accept donations and actively seek those. And people can best do that through GreatFallsHistoryMuseum.org. Is that right?
Thank you. Yes, absolutely. We have a platform set up online, and we do need the support from the community. Obviously, with inflation, you know, everything's going up, and we really maintain a modest operation, but do so much for Cascade County and Central Montana, and we'll continue to do so. So please consider becoming a member if you're not already, and or just join us for one of these free programs and learn more about the Cascade County Historical Society and what we do here in Central Montana.
Yeah, and do become part of the events. But I also want to remind you, if not, you can make donations like right now. You know, do it while it's top of mind. And every little bit, we can kind of micro-fund it from the community out. And so definitely keep in touch with a great resource like the Great Falls History Museum at greatfallshistorymuseum.org.
Thank you, Gabe.
Yeah, and I know that a couple other things that people might not think about, you actually alluded to it, you know, besides just coming in and experiencing the exhibits or the wealth of gifts that you have in the gift shop, I know you've got books and all sorts of unique gifts at the gift shop. I mean, it's a great place to find something that's a little dose of something different. But the archival resource, and people can make appointments and do some deep dive research into what they're interested in about Great Falls. How does that work?
Well, we have an archivist on staff, and you can email her. It is archives@greatfallshistorymuseum.org, or call us at 452-3462, or stop by and set up an appointment. You put in a request that has your research subject, and she gets back to you with a specific time you can come and research.
That's a great resource to be aware of, and I'll put links in the show notes to both her emails and also your contact phone number.
Thank you. It's really cool because, you know, we have everything from special collections that have personal accounts like diaries and correspondence or letters. We have records on things from, you know, women homesteaders in the area, the, you know, in jail records, tax records, all kinds of architectural records. So you can really go off on different tangents depending on what your interest is. Recently, we took on about 20 file cabinets and at least 20 boxes of archival material from the Great Falls Tribune, who sold their building. And these are the reporter resource files. So yes, we have all the old tribunes and all the old leaders in bound books, but now you're going to have access to files that reporters maintained and used. Of course, we have to catalog and create our finding aid, and we'll need resources to do that. But we'll be working hard on that over the next year to make those available to the public.
Yeah, well, I think that that's probably one of the biggest challenges because history is ongoing. It's always creating more of itself.
Absolutely. And time marches on, thank goodness.
And so with all these different projects in the works, I bet you all have to balance the line between being too busy and what to choose to focus on. And I wish you well with all the wealth of opportunities to research and bring to the public everything that's happened in our past. Because I think it's really important to realize what's happened, learn from the past. Heck, even as a writer, you know, like I get bogged down with characters. I should just come in and research some characters from this town just for random inspiration, you know? Why not use those sorts of things creatively?
Totally. Great idea. Yeah. That sounds really fun.
it would, you know, sometimes you need a little shot of information from outside your brain. You know, feel free to use I'm sure that you guys would be open to ideas, or, you know, do you guys have volunteers that come in and do things for you?
We do. We have volunteers that work on everything from helping us do an inventory to padding and sewing hangers to put uniforms on and preserve them. We have a couple archaeologists working on a projectile point collection right now. So a real broad range of volunteers.
So if you've got something going on that you think has historic relevance, I bet you'd like to hear about it, huh?
We would. And you can do that online. We actually have a form that you fill out. We meet once a month to discuss possible accessions, which are the new collections that come in. And you just fill out a little form and you tell us about your object. You can send us a picture of it on the computer, or you can come in and fill out the form in person. Yesterday, somebody brought us a foot warmer that you put coals in, and somebody else brought a little scythe, you know, picture books, all kinds of things. And we take what we can, but we are really focused. So we make sure that we're focused on the stories of the people of Cascade County and Central Montana. And yes, we have an eclectic mix.
Yeah. You know, these microfiber slippers always make my feet sweaty. I'm interested in the coal, the charcoal foot warmer.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Neat.
I didn't even know something like that existed. So, and honestly, that's been my experience many times there. I'm surprised by where we've been and what we've created throughout the decades. And so many things have kind of settled back into the soil as we move on. And we always think that, oh, the innovations are going to come from future discoveries, but really it's built on where we've been in the past. And so seek inspiration from history, people.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, Christy Scott, I always appreciate you coming in to the studios here at KGPR. I know you work hard out there as an ambassador of the Cascade County Historical Society and the Great Falls History Museum. Thanks for always keeping in touch with what we know. We love to let people know about the events that are going on. And I encourage people to get involved with the History Museum, get inspired by it. And thanks for visiting with us again.
Thank you, Gabe. We do have a cool town full of history and culture and art. You just have to get out there and participate.
Yeah, and with the spring weather, maybe it'll be summer by the time people are listening. But these are the times of action. Get out and live.
Thank you.